What's going to power our everyday commutes in the next decade and beyond? Where are cities headed towards as a number of mobility solutions and challenges proliferate? These are some of the big questions that we explore in Moving Cities, a podcast on the future of mobility presented to you by Eden Strategy Institute. Here at Eden Strategy Institute, we collaborate with the world's most successful organizations to sustain their growth through business system innovation. In Moving Cities, we'll take you along the journeys of innovators, experts, and veterans in the smart cities and urban mobility space, as they have tested, led, and experimented with new mobility initiatives in their cities. On today's episode of Moving Cities, we're bringing on board a slight change in perspective, as we'll be hearing from a startup working on autonomous technology. Joining us is Adriel Lubarski, Head of Business Development at UDelph, a leading autonomous delivery van company based in San Francisco. The company is on a mission to reinvent delivery and shape the future of autonomous driving with their self-driving vans. These vans are built specifically for last and middle mile delivery on public roads. To date, UDelph has already completed more than 10,000 deliveries for multiple merchants and in strategic partnerships and commercial deals with Walmart, Baidu, and many others. Thanks for being with us, Adriel. Let's start with the fundamental belief that underpins your business model. Why did you choose to use autonomous technology for moving goods as opposed to moving people? Why do you think your use case, the autonomous delivery of goods, is the stronger one?
If you look at the history of transportation, it always starts with moving goods before moving people. You could look at elevators. People didn't get onto elevators until first packages were moved up and down for like 50 years. People refused to get on trains for a long time because people thought that if you move faster than 30 miles an hour, your heart will give out. So they only put goods onto trains. Same thing for planes, same thing for cars. The first car invented was in Napoleon's army.
That's a really interesting point of view. Did UDelph start with this premise in mind, or did you notice that you had history on your side along the way?
That's how the company was started. So the two founders of our company, the CEO was an investor at the time, and he wanted to make investments maybe 3-4 years ago into autonomous vehicles, but he couldn't find any investments that he liked. So he looked out and found a bunch of engineers, spoke with them, learned from them. One of them in particular had worked at Tesla and Apple on their self-driving car programs, was equally frustrated that there's no true application, no business application to this amazing technology. So the two of them founded this company based on the thesis that delivery will be the first use case where autonomous technology will really make an impact. And now you take that a little bit beyond and you say, all right, great, it's delivery, but what kind of delivery? Delivery means a lot of different things. Delivery means everything from long-haul trucking to postal. It means grocery and it means auto parts. It means everything you might imagine it to mean, delivery can mean. So what we do is we basically find that lowest use case, lowest hanging fruit, where autonomous technology can actually provide a business use case to somebody. And we worked in grocery, we worked in pharmacy, we worked in a bunch of different industries with companies like Walmart and many others. And where we're really settled is that the automotive aftermarket and our particular use case is the best possible place for autonomous technology to really take root. There's a massive supply chain in the automotive aftermarket. You know, you go get your car fixed, that mechanic doesn't have the part he needs for your car because it's kind of old, so he needs to call the local AutoZone to see if that part can be delivered. Maybe they have it and they deliver it, maybe they don't have it. They need to call their warehouse and say, hey, I need a 2010 Ford Fusion brake pad. Can you bring it? They bring it to the warehouse, to the store, from the store to the mechanic. Massive supply chain, repetitive routes, short miles, same things over and over again. And over 100,000 drivers and cars in the industry in the United States alone. Really, really, really big market.
So I actually noticed in one of your videos, there was someone who was moving a lot of grocery items. And one of those grocery items was toilet paper, which is a very voluminous or large-sized item, but takes up a lot of space and might not be of high value. So why did you still decide to go for groceries as a use case for autonomous delivery as opposed to something else?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when the industry was really getting going, and we weren't the only company to decide on delivery, as it often happens, multiple people come to the same conclusion in different parts of the world. Everybody thought that autonomous delivery is going to start with grocery because it's a growing e-commerce sector. When you give your example, You have a big roll of paper towels. It's pretty high volume and pretty low cost. You know, it costs $5 to take up a lot of space. These things still need to be delivered. And asking a driver to do it is very expensive. So the driver costs $20-$25 an hour after benefits and expenses and management and things like that. Asking a self-driving car to do it is a lot cheaper, because if you can remove the driver, then you're able to actually make a profit on that roll of paper towels. So that's kind of the thought process that happened first with grocery. And it was really interesting and learned a lot. But in terms of still finding that use case for autonomous technology can really, really benefit the world the fastest, it's in simpler, repetitive routes.
What would you say your company's core competency and core activities are? And how are you positioned in the broader supply chain?
It's bringing together all of these technologies that have been in the making for many, many decades. So what we do is we focus on the autonomous delivery experience. We bring together all the tools that already exist in the marketplace, vehicles, autonomous technology, sensors, things like that. We build new tools, all to allow retailers or businesses to load vehicles well, allow their customers to unload vehicles well, and to make that entire delivery process seamless, beautiful, data-driven, and a lot more comprehensive. So our core is the autonomous delivery experience that is an amalgamation or a grouping of technologies that already exist that we integrate seamlessly into the process in a way no one's seen before. Few technologies that we need to create, for example, mobile apps to allow you to get your goods out of the car, to allow Walmart to load the car, and a whole back-end suite to basically manage the fleet.
Out of all the technologies that you rely on, is there one that is not evolving fast enough for your needs? Like, which technology would you say is the bottleneck in your business model right now? I understand that you're currently at level 4 automation. Is that slowing you down in any way, or is level 4 enough?
On that front, level 4 is good enough, because the only difference between level 4 and level 5 is sort of the grouping or the geographies of those customers. Level 4 means we can go anywhere we want as long as we know in advance where we're going. Level 5 means you can go anywhere you want the whole time. From store to a warehouse, store to a warehouse, level 4 suffices.
Now, what about technology like sensors? Are you satisfied with the current state of it? Does it require more work?
We want sensors to become cheaper, to become more efficient, because sensors are a lot of things. There's the LiDAR, there's the radar, there's the cameras, and I think that's where we really want to see a lot more growth, is in terms of that hardware cost and functionality.
Now, if we think about UDelv's main premise of transporting goods over people, what are some of the examples of those benefits, whether in terms of safety, efficiency, or sustainability?
Yeah, very simple example. I think that one of the best ways to put it is this. You've been the passenger of a car many times, right? When you're the passenger of a car, you want something different than when you're the driver of the car. When you're the driver of the car, you really want to feel the wheel, feel the turns, feel the road. It's good to feel every bump. It feels like you're really connected with the car on the road. When you're the passenger of a car, every bump you feel is awful, right? Every bump, every turn that's too sharp is a problem. When you're driving alone, you probably drive very differently than you're when you're driving with a friend in the car. When you're alone, maybe you'll take some turns kind of sharp, right? When you're alone, maybe you'll speed up a little bit or you're whatever you want to do. When you have a passenger, you need to be really, really considerate of everything that they want. And that is in premise the difference between moving people and moving goods. Moving people, everybody's a passenger. The driving needs to be perfect. You can't speed up too fast. You can't slow down too fast. You can't take a turn too tight. You can't take a turn too wide. You can't get too close to a parked car because that'll scare the passenger. You can't get too far from a parked car because now you're in the middle of the road. When you're moving goods, it's very different because all you need to do is drive safely. You can speed up a little fast. You can slow down a little slow. You can hit the brake if you need to. The worst thing that happens is you break the eggs in the back, worst case. You can take a turn a little tight. You can take a turn a little wide. You can do whatever the autonomous technology needs to do to keep the car safe, and then over time continue to improve that. The level of autonomous technology required is considerably lower because autonomous delivery technology, you need about 98% accuracy. You need to drive safe pretty much all the time. Can't get into accidents or that slows you down and it's dangerous. But you can speed up a little, slow down a little, take tight turns, do whatever you want. With autonomous taxi technology or robo-taxis, you need to be 100% good. And that 2% difference, that final 2%, is probably the single hardest artificial intelligence problem of the next 25 or 35 years, that last 2%. Getting to that 98 is also very difficult, but that last 2% that makes a difference between autonomous delivery technology and autonomous taxis.
Do you think that the mainstream application of autonomous technology will come much sooner for the transportation of goods as opposed to people? Because some people mentioned that the widespread use of autonomous vehicles for people will take another 10 to 15 years to arrive, which is really quite a while away. What's your view on that?
I think for mainstream, perhaps. For people, you see it in a short and small constrained environment sooner. For example, in Las Vegas, which has really wide boulevards, a lot of traffic lights, things like that, you already have Lyft and Aptiv. You could today go to Las Vegas and take a self-driving taxi along the strip. Today, anybody can do it. There's a company in Florida called Voyager, and they just drive around retirement communities moving people. If you have the money of Google and Waymo and Cruise, they already have pretty good autonomous taxis in Arizona and California. Those are really, really, really small pockets. To do what Google did in Mountain View, California, in upstate New York and Long Island and Westchester and Brooklyn and Queens, let alone Manhattan, is very, very, very far off. Now, with a delivery, if you put all your effort into figuring out a 20-mile repetitive route like we do with XL Parts, and you're able to automate that, well, then if you want to go to Queens, all you need to do is automate another 20-mile repetitive route. If you want to go to Montana, all you need to do is automate another repetitive 20-mile route. So you can scale delivery a lot faster than passenger vehicles, I believe.
Right. So what are the current challenges that you face with regards to technology and infrastructure? I think you mentioned sensors earlier. Are there some other current or foreseeable challenges that you expect to face?
When you think about what the infrastructure of a city can look like, it's very, very different than it is today. They have a project in Hillwood, in Texas, where really focused on bringing all these technologies to this one city to see what happens if you can have AT&T provide 5G connectivity. If you could have really good use cases, because you got FedEx and Walmart and all these other companies there. If you can connect all the infrastructure, all the streetlights, all the park benches, that is really, really, really valuable, but it's very long-term. That's how you do that final 2%. Do the first 98%, the car needs to be smart enough on its own. Do that final 2% of perfection, all the infrastructure of a city, roads, streetlights, park benches, curbs, need to have some sort of connectivity so the vehicle can be very, very precise. Now, that is a massive problem. For example, UDelv is developing self-driving cars, and we're launching in Texas. And then we go and launch in Singapore, or even make it easier. We're launching in Austin, Texas, and then we want to launch in San Antonio. Each of those two cities has been very excited, and they built a data-connected infrastructure everywhere, but it runs on a different platform, or it takes something different to actually communicate with Austin streetlights than with San Antonio streetlights. Or Austin streetlights are vertical, or San Antonio streetlights are horizontal, or whatever it is. If we need to translate differently in each one of these cities, it's going to be very, very difficult to launch in these cities. So it's the responsibility of cities, maybe not a global scale, that's very challenging, but at least on a national scale, to begin to identify these common languages that the infrastructure needs to speak in to make our jobs as developers easier. Imagine, like, it's almost like building on top of the Apple App Store. Imagine if every developer for the Apple App Store needed to learn a different language. That'd be insane. That'd be so hard. So what Apple did is they created a common language, Swift, that any developer can take and upload onto their app store. That's the responsibility of cities, to create this common language across the board, perhaps in the United States, as much as possible so that any autonomous vehicle company just needs to learn that one language and then connect it.
Mm-hmm. So has this conversation around finding a common language already started? Are cities discussing this or thinking about this in the same way that you are?
I think it's a little bit of the other direction. I mean, I'll give you two examples. The first is federal legislation has been very slow in the United States, and they've left it up to the state. It should not be the state's responsibility to decide what autonomous vehicles are like. It should be the federal government. We want more regulation from them. to create this common language, to create these rules, to create some sort of certainty. Right now, we can go to Texas and Arizona and Florida, but we can't go to Montana and New Jersey and New Mexico. Why is that? That doesn't make any sense. We can go to Texas, but we can't go just north of it to Oklahoma. Why is that? That doesn't make any sense. Just the first step of it is that Texas and Arizona and Florida are doing incredible work bringing autonomous vehicles to their own states, but they're all a little bit different from each other, and they're definitely all different than anyone who has started yet. Second example is if you take all these federal competitions, like City of Tomorrow challenges sponsored by Ford, or Smart City of the Year Award or something like that. Columbus, Ohio won the Smart City of the Year Award 2 years ago. Great, good for them. I hope they do something incredible with it. But whatever it is that they do, I hope Columbus, Ohio does not become this like soul light in darkness and everyone else takes on a different language. Like whatever happens with Columbus, Ohio is incredible, but that needs to be spread out horizontally or it's going to not be good for the people of Columbus because no one's going to want to go there if it's different than everywhere else.
Thanks for that insight, Adriel. I wanted to switch gears a bit and explore the topic of collaboration. I would guess that being an SF helps a lot with this, but I was wondering, what is the degree of collaboration within your business model and which stakeholders are you collaborating with the most?
So collaboration is really important. I mean, one of our core theses, and you could read this on our blog, we have a post there about partnership, but this is such a big problem that it can't be done without partnership. You cannot be a single player and think you're going to solve everything. It's almost like saying General Motors does an incredible job building cars, but they don't also source, grow the rubber trees for their tires and make the tires. They work with Bridgestone. They don't also make a lot of the autonomous, the cruise control technology that's done by Delphi. It's a huge partnership ecosystem to accomplish a very big challenge. So we believe in partnerships very, very much. One partnership that we have is with Microsoft. That's our entire cloud infrastructure. So Microsoft is very interested in being a leader in autonomous driving. We are very interested in working in partnerships. That's an exciting opportunity where we get to leverage the credibility, the infrastructure, the resources to take that and then translate it into making their own resources get standardized across the board better and bigger. Because any Microsoft customer we work with already has an integration for that. Another example is Baidu. Our autonomous technology is built off of Baidu's Apollo software. So instead of building it from the ground up, we said, great, here's this AI company. It's one of the largest in the world, one of the smartest in the world. I spent who knows how many billions of dollars investing into their autonomous technology and will continue to do so in environments around the world, snowy China, sunny California, and everything in between. Let's take that, build on top of it to allow us to move faster. So partnerships are really, really important with clients as well. Walmart, it's not a finished solution where Walmart says, hey, you want a self-driving car? And we say, sure, here you go, here's a self-driving car. Our early clients need to have a stake in the game. They need to be involved.
Again, the same question as technology, but in this case for stakeholders, are there some stakeholders that you feel in this mobility space that are not participating enough or collaborating enough? Perhaps they're too risk averse. I could imagine this could be the government stakeholder or something along those lines. Is there something that you see here as well?
I think one thing that we'd like to see a lot more of, there's some massive autonomous companies like Waymo or Cruise. And we need to make sure that it's good for the world. And the way you do that is competition. Right now, Waymo and Cruise have a real chokehold on autonomous technology. They hire all the people. They put all the money into it. They make claims like they're not going to remove the driver quite yet, and that slows down investment into the industry, things like that. If Waymo and Cruise create this duopoly over autonomous vehicles, just like Google has over search, Facebook and Google have over advertising, some companies have over vehicles, if we continue to go down that path and we have that over one of the most influential technologies of the 21st century, autonomous driving, and the only companies able to provide that autonomous software are Waymo and Cruise, that's going to be a big challenge. And we want to see a lot more investment from venture capitalists, from cities, from retailers. So imagine in Walmart's situation, right? Right now, Walmart's investing in autonomous technology because they want to be saving hundreds of millions of dollars every single year and making delivery cheaper, period. Now, if the only players available to them 10 or 15 or 20 years from now are Waymo and Cruise, there's not going to be any cost savings, right? There needs to be competition in order for there to be cost savings. So that's where I think we'd like to see a lot more excitement, a lot more innovation, a lot more bets on a lot more startups to make sure that the biggest companies in the world know that there's other companies out there really coming for them.
Adriel, it's been great learning from the amazing insights that you've shared with us here in Moving Cities today. Thank you so much for generously sharing your time with us and our listeners, and for bringing on board a really refreshing change in perspective. I think some of our key takeaways have been just how different it is to make the case for autonomous technology and the movement of goods, as opposed to the targets and standards that we aim for when we're moving people. The maturity and safety is just so different. And when we're only thinking about the transportation of goods, it's more about driving safe. And that's a lot simpler. We can see improvements even faster if we develop a common language for autonomous driving across infrastructure and regulations, and of course with strong collaboration, because this is one challenge that's just far too big for any one stakeholder to handle. So thanks for all of that. You've been listening to Moving Cities, a podcast on smart cities and the future of mobility, brought to you by Eden Strategy Institute. Do subscribe to Moving Cities on your chosen podcast listening platform as we dive deeper into the big questions about all things mobility in the city. We'd love to hear what you thought about this week's episode, so don't forget to rate and review Moving Cities. You can also join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/Eden Strategy Institute. Thanks for coming along this journey with us. Till next time.